Hey, it's Noor. For this episode of AdTech Unfiltered, we're venturing into new territory. For the very first time, we'll be talking to a brand marketer, this time in the real estate space. James Schwartz is the VP of Marketing and Media at RE/MAX, a real estate brand you've likely seen signage for in a front yard or other rentable property near you. But perusing past front yards and apartment lobbies aren't the main ways that people learn about places for sale or rent anymore. It's become an expectation to be able to discover and explore places online well before you ever see them in person. As one of the world's leading real estate franchisers with over 120,000 agents in more than 100 countries and territories, RE/MAX is no stranger to these industry shifts, or the fact that numerous digital-first real estate competitors have attempted to disrupt traditional home buying and selling processes. James shares how these changes have pushed RE/MAX to create innovative new ways for agents to interact with buyers and sellers while providing access to trusted industry expertise throughout the process. This episode on how to sell the American dream with RE/MAX's James Schwartz starts right now. James, thanks so much for joining us today to do our very first vertical specific episode, in this case on real estate. Before we get moving, could you share a quick intro on who you are and what you do at RE/MAX?
Great. So my name is James Schwartz. I'm the VP of Marketing and Media Strategies for RE/MAX. I've been in the business for about 18, 19 years now. Grew up in home building, land development, have been on the agent side of the business as well. Serial entrepreneur, love real estate, and have through this entire process have been in the marketing and digital space. I'm a total geek, and I love figuring out how to connect consumers, kind of taking that people-based approach.
Sounds like you have some background already in the real estate space. Is that what brought you to RE/MAX to begin with?
Yeah, this is my role now. I feel very fortunate. It's the perfect complement and marriage of everything I've done prior, having been in home building and land development and in that marketing digital space, and now being the head of marketing for a global organization and helping really showcase this and how do we take what our agents do on a day-to-day basis and start thinking about how people live. How people look and search for homes in Chicago is very different than the East Coast and the West Coast, let alone around the world. So it's fun and a great compliment to be part of that.
So we're already jumping into the things that you guys do at RE/MAX, but I know when I was growing up, I came across many a home that had that outside signage for RE/MAX, but for anybody who might be less familiar, can you give us a little pitch or a rundown of what RE/MAX is?
RE/MAX was founded in 1973 by Dave and Gail Liniger, awesome people, and really kind of wanted to revolutionize the business. And what I love about that, the story of where we came from, they saw an opportunity with an idle workforce being women in the marketplace at that time in the 70s. And these kind of good old boys in the network that were driving business but taking high cuts, so 50, 60, 70% of an agent's commission. And what they wanted to do was kind of flip that inside out and really make sure that the agent was buying into a business but really taking 95, 99% of their own commission. So in exchange for that, they were paying monthly fees. And in a good old boys group, they really brought women into the workforce and built this global brand that dominates in our space. It's awesome. The other thing we have since then is obviously agents around the world. We've got 110 countries and territories, about 125,000 agents around the globe. We also have a motto mortgage brand that we started a couple years ago that I was part of helping kind of build out. And there's a great talented group there running that division. With motto mortgage, we just hit 100 open offices. And then we also acquired a tech company called Booge that we acquired about 18 months ago. And we just, being in Chicago, we just launched, finally went live. Our regions and the company-owned regions are starting to get this product, and we're going to be rolling out from now until the end of this year and then start getting into our independent regions and our global territory.
Just my limited understanding of the real estate space, I understand the lines of RE/MAX and some similar businesses to be residential and commercial, but are there other big spaces you guys play in as well?
So we do it all. So RE/MAX is the home of the top producer, the full-time experienced agent, that professional that really does this for a full-time on a full-time deal. We're in the luxury space, so we have a brand called the RE/MAX Collection, so anything in a higher-end deal. We also have commercial, and then a lot of that residential transaction. And then with the affiliates we brought on recently with Motto Mortgage, we're kind of looking at how do we round out that overall experience for all things, not just active buying and selling, but you think about the 2 to 3 years of research that goes into finding a home. It could be job transfer, it could be family formation, family separation. How do we start getting into that kind of lifestyle piece? Maybe it's DIY, right? We all love to watch HGTV and kind of see how you get it going. How do we position ourselves into that so that they understand RE/MAX?
Given the fact that there are multiple lines, and I know commercial is a big component as well, for the purposes today, we'll more so focus on residential just because I think it's a picture that the vast majority of people can really understand.
Absolutely. Commercial is complicated.
Right. So with that in mind, can you tell us a little bit about the home buying market today from the perspective of folks that might be shopping in today's landscape?
Yeah, it's become more complicated. I'm fortunate to travel around and educate our network. Consumers are now in control. Brands used to be in control, right? So if we take it back from even real estate just to a marketing perspective, brands used to sit around in a room, come up with these campaigns, have a product or service to sell, 3 to 5 touch points, and then get somebody to kind of get in that familiarity stage and get to consideration to buy and sell. Well, today, the consumer is now in control. They tell us how we can get to them. And you think about how complicated marketing is, especially with what even Centro does, right? It's not just print, TV, radio. Now you've got digital, you've got social platforms, emerging tech, podcast, all of these different things. How do I connect with somebody? How do I get to that point where we're making that connection with somebody on a more authentic one-to-one level?
The thing about the home buying process is that unlike any other purchase you're going to make in your life, this is probably the most high consideration purchase you can possibly make.
It is highly emotional. It is expensive. It's oftentimes it is the largest purchase from a financial perspective that someone's making. And it's shifted. Agents used to be the gatekeeper of all information. The agent was the source of truth. When I got into the business, they looked like phone books. There were these MLS books. And you used to be able to call in, and you had to call into the brokerage, get a hold of that agent, and there would be sifting through pages upon pages of home details on a home. They really guarded and had that information. That started to shift when MLSs started generating these IDX feeds and sharing out that info. And now you think about today, you've got Zillow and Realtor.com and these portals. I don't go look for a home through an agent. I can go online to find it. Now the agent's responsibility is about creating value and getting them through that complicated, highly emotional experience. What do you do with objection handling? How do you go through inspection? How do you make sure that you're maximizing the experience? And now they're very service oriented instead of kind of that gatekeeper of the content, the information.
So now that there's been this shift in, I guess, who the gatekeeper is in so many ways, and you didn't completely say this, but I feel like the internet in some ways is a gatekeeper or one of the bridges to give you information before you ultimately might have to move on to working with a realtor. So with that in mind, are there stages that a person goes through when they are first doing exploration on the internet, and then ultimately it is necessary for them to have a touch point with a realtor? Or are there circumstances where people are saying, how do I bypass this altogether? Are there a couple different ways that people approach the home buying process?
Yes, it's very, instead of that kind of more traditional singular path, there's a lot more option, especially in the last few years. So we think about, do you know what an iBuyer is? Have you heard of this concept?
No.
So typically, if you wanted to find a home, you jump online, you start kicking the tires, you may be looking at certain areas. People are looking at schools, maybe identifying places important to them. Is it drive time? Like, where's my church? Where's my school? Where's the babysitter? Where's family? Where do I want to live? And then thinking through, especially with online and things like Yelp and others, they might be able to go in and identify what's important to them. And so that's what the internet and technology is now allowing, is the consumer can go out and find this stuff. The agent now needs to figure out what is that, what are they looking for? And then the complication with contracts and inspection, all that, that's what's more difficult today than ever before. But now when you think about the traditional brokerage idea, now you've got these things called an iBuyer. So instead of me going to a broker and paying a 6% fee, I might go online, figure out, put my address in, find out what my home is worth. They will typically offer a lower price for the home, But in that, I'm trading convenience for my net price that I take away as the seller, and I can sell the home with a guarantee in 30 days, 60 days, 90 days. There's different models. They don't have to take it to market. They don't have to actually market the home and sell it. This iBuyer will buy the property from them and allow them to go on to their next home. There's even some companies now that are if I was a buyer looking at a home in Atlanta and I was living in Chicago, some of these would actually go buy my second home and then guarantee the sale and the purchase of my other home. So if I have a contingency, which means I've got to maybe sell a house to move into the next one, they'll clear that stuff out for me.
Is a realtor a necessary component of the process you just described?
Absolutely. The real estate, there's a lot of debates right now. Is technology, you know, think about Uber and taxis or Airbnb and hotels. There's a lot of, or even travel agencies, right? You don't typically have to go to a travel agent to buy a vacation now. You can jump online. There's tons of sites like Expedia and others. Real estate's not going to be replaced. The agent's not going to be replaced in the real estate game. However, our CEO even has said this, if agents don't learn how to embrace technology and use digital opportunities to enhance relationship building and nurturing that relationship and building that relationship and building that rapport and building that trust and then staying in front of that consumer, they will be replaced because there's other options. I can jump online and I'll get connected to another agent.
Is there a practical way for people to entirely bypass using an agent? Obviously, RE/MAX has a big volume of realtors, but is there a practical way that you guys are looking to combat, or do you feel at this time in the marketplace there isn't really a practical way to go about it and it's your responsibility to educate people on that?
It'll be interesting. There's some people that feel that it will be. They think that they can take the agent out. You've got discount brokers that are starting to break up the process, where instead of having one agent that walks you through the entire process, you might have multiple people. The challenge that we're finding is, from a consumer perspective, if I have your name on my sign as my agent in my front yard, I want to work with you. If I have a problem, a question, there's some objection that I need to deal with, I want that person to call. What they're finding now is they call these other companies and they're just thrown into a queue. There's many different hands. So nobody's really looking out for their best interest. And that's the difference that I think we'll need to see where it shakes out. But we strongly believe that the agent will always be at the center of the transaction, but how they serve the customer and how they fit in, that's what's starting to evolve. They're no longer the gatekeeper of information. They now need to be service-minded. They need to make sure that they're being that guide. And it's interesting. We do research every year. Our consumers tell us, technology is important, but it's kind of table stakes. They want someone that has the knowledge, the experience. They'll tell them like it is. They'll get them through that complicated process. They're not looking for technology.
You mentioned that the leadership at RE/MAX are communicating to everyone that it's important to embrace technology because otherwise you might make yourself extinct. You might make yourself irrelevant. You might pull yourself out of the home buying process.
Like a Kodak, right?
Absolutely. With that in mind, what are some of the things that you guys are laying out as far as the major challenges that realtors are going to face or have been facing in relation to combating technology? Are there kind of like a couple different things that people are regularly encountering?
Definitely. So one of the exciting things we've done is we've always embraced technology. Even back in the day with starting different networks and just training programs, modernizing that approach, we decided instead of relying on a vendor and a third party and trying to influence their roadmap, we knew that that's tough. There's many CRMs, there's many email platforms, there's many ways to do online advertising. We wanted to get more in control of that. Our network is a very entrepreneurial, professional, full-time experienced group of people selling real estate around the world. They all have different needs. Well, if you go to a certain CRM, it might have features that you like, but it doesn't work for some. It might work for one person in the office. A team needs a little bit different than maybe another agent. A rule, someone works in a rural market, it's very different than somebody in an urban market, a suburban market, right? There's a lot of nuance in real estate. So what we wanted to do was really develop a core system that allowed us to compete in a modern approach today with leads and contacts and kind of knowing who these people are, but allowing the agents to tailor how they work within the system. So how do they tag contacts? How do they pull reports? How do they work within the CRM? And more importantly, instead of having to import and export contact information and leads through multiple systems, we're creating an environment. We acquired a company called Booj. I love the name. It's called, they stand for Be Original or Jealous. They've been in the business for over a decade. They've worked with a lot of large independent brokerages, so they know real estate well. They've served 20,000 plus agents for these independent brokerages. And we looked at their technology stack and said, hey, this is great. We went back and actually worked with them, did a lot of alpha and beta testing with our own agents, our own broker owners, and what do they need? What do they like? And as we develop products, we follow this continued CICD approach, continuous improvement, continuous development. What do you need to do within your system? How do you leverage this? And that's what Booj, we just launched, starting to go live this week.
In so many ways, you've described many of the things that Booj enables realtors to do more successfully than maybe they would have historically done without it. But what are some of the special problems it helps solve, specifically related to lead capture? Because admittedly, I'm sure this is something annoying that people bring to your attention. I was thinking about going into this podcast, and so immediately my mind went to Glengarry Glen Ross and just the concept of leads and coveted leads. But I think in today's world, there isn't a set list of magical leads you can turn to. I think there's a lot of people out there who have at least taken a moment, or they've watched like $1 million listings, and they're like, look at these guys. If they're like, they've got 10, they have like an 8-figure net worth and they've got so much money. It's so easy to like turn these houses around and close these deals. And it's like, I know nothing about the deal, like the lead process. So
there is nothing easy about real estate. That is the truth.
Yeah.
And you're right. It's over dramatized with these shows. It's complicated. You could put 6-9 months into a deal and it not happen, and you just put all that time and effort and you don't get paid.
Right.
Right? There's nothing easy about it. Leads are something that I hope in the future we stop talking about. I think it's a misnomer. If I pay for leads, I feel their quality. If I don't pay for leads, I might have a less perceived value of those. Some of these sites back in the day, and even we had done this years ago, if I start looking on a site and I start gating my content, so maybe I see 3 photos and then I'm going to force registration.
Yeah.
Well, as a consumer, again, the information is out on the web. I should not have to force registration. Give me an email, give me your phone number to get content and information. Because if I'm, you know, sitting at home perusing because all of a sudden I think I'm going to get, I have a new potential job, I should be able to get all the information I want. That's the advantage of the internet, right? But if I am forced into it, I have to give you an email. It's Mickey Mouse. If I do your phone number, it's a bogus email. That's a lead. So then the agents get that and they go, is this really valuable to me? Right. So there's constant chicken and the egg and this constant friction that exists. What I'm excited about with what we're doing with Booj is we're going to finally integrate. So instead of me having emails coming in and contacts coming in from all these disparate sources, it's centralized. And when my contacts are in that system and I need to do marketing, I need to do campaign management, and I need to follow up or even manage the deal, I can create stages and kind of go through that deal pipeline. And while that might not sound exciting, what I get excited about is it allows me to kind of look at the lead to close. So if I'm running marketing campaigns on social, I could do a diamond ring giveaway and get a bunch of volume and traffic. But if that's not moving the needle and generating my business, then am I really delivering value? And I'm spending money making Facebook and Google and others a bunch of cash, but it's not growing my business. So with this idea of going lead to close and having deal management and back office and transaction management integrated, I can go back and look at, hey, maybe that campaign had low volume, but it had a really high cost per transaction. And maybe we can down the line look at, instead of leads, am I impacting gross commission earned? Am I impacting the number of transactions that my highly productive network can close? When you think about, we have 125,000 agents around the globe, and our average is about 16.3 transactions per year for an agent. That's a lot of homes. That's more than a home a month, right? Yeah. And if you think about what it takes to cultivate, how many impressions do I need? How many clicks do I get of those clicks? How many of those phone calls happen, appointments made? Of those appointments, how many listings do I get? Of those listings I get, how many do I sell? That's the type of stuff that really matters. It's not just the lead. And that's why this integration and a true ecosystem and environment that we own, we can control, we can affect that roadmap. That is going to be the secret sauce for us going forward.
Do you think there is a almost a formula of digital engagement where somebody goes through a set number of touch points and then those can best qualify that somebody is a legitimate lead, because there are so many looky-loos in the world, right? Like you go, I don't know, let's say in the real world, I'm just perusing houses on the weekend for fun, for the houses I can't afford. Or that same mindset in a digital space could be, I'm just like looking at cool houses on the internet. What do I need to do to make sure that I'm taking an action that's worth a realtor actually responding to?
Yep, that's an interesting point. I think for us, that's there's theories. You're going to hear different platforms and publishers and providers and media outlets give you these numbers and tell you, hey, we've got the best, this, that, the other. This environment with Booj is going to let me validate that. I think if we were to talk a year from now, I could probably give you some specific numbers. If I drive a certain number of volume and have a certain conversion point to traffic to lead gen, for example, well, how many of those do I need to then get a listing and then get a deal closed? This is going to allow me to finally have those insights as a marketer. I'll be able to be a better steward to the hard-earned money that these agents go out and earn a commission on, paying into these ad funds, that we are responsible to go create awareness with the consumer, drive traffic to their sites, create leads, and ultimately help them grow their business. But it's that black box that we've always had to deal with. We know what we put in, but I have no way to measure what's happening. And we're going to finally have that way to really track this entirely from lead to close and then the 10 years between the next deal is coming.
Let me know if I understood one of the points you made properly. It sounded like realtors pool their money together and then there is some sort of promotional or marketing or media work that takes place.
In our case, yes. So if you're an independent agent, you're responsible for it all. In our case, what we do is it's the volume. It's that building brand awareness. So our team is responsible to create awareness, because then in the consumer's mind, we want to get to that familiarity stage, because at the point of consideration, that's the handoff to the agent. And in our world, that's a lot of repeat and referral business, and that's where agents do really well. So our agents are responsible. They're independent contractors. They have their own business within. Our new mantra is that we're a business that builds businesses, because as that independent contractor, part of an independently owned franchise, they want the brand. The brand is the number one advantage to them, because when they go meet with that consumer, they're not explaining who their brokerage is. People know RE/MAX. They're explaining their value. How am I going to help you buy and sell your home? How am I going to get you through that complicated sale? So they pay a monthly fee into an ad fund that we then take those dollars to create the awareness for the consumer. And then they also get tools from us to help them with their local, hyper-local marketing, content creation. The best thing that's exciting is we're part of two big American dreams, homeownership and small business ownership, right? So these people are serving their communities. They're typically pillars in their community. They're active in the PTA. They're running the board, the local real estate boards. They know a lot of the small business owners. So how do they start to position themselves in those local marketplaces? We give them the tools to do that. We give them marketing to support that. And it's this very complicated kind of top-down, bottom-up approach, but it's been working. And as we go into new markets and new countries, it's that same idea. How do we help them kind of create that awareness with the brand? So when the agent's out there ready to buy and sell, they have the tools they need.
When somebody becomes a realtor for RE/MAX, is the expectation from the get-go that you are going to invest in marketing and media, and therefore obligated to put forth some dollars specifically for marketing and media?
Yeah. Some brokerages that are larger might provide the support on behalf of the agents, and then the fees they pay might cover that. But typically, yeah, think about if you were going to start your own business, if you didn't pay to market it, how would people know about you, right? Yeah. And if you're going to join a brand like RE/MAX and just sit back and expect leads to come in, and then you're just going to close deals, That's not a recipe for success. You have to want to grow and be part of this business. And that's why I get very passionate about this whole lead thing. I'm hoping it's something that we don't talk about in the future. I really strongly believe that.
So I, as a non-realtor, am already bought into that concept, because I think from the get-go, if I'm serious about being an agent for people and I'm serious about my business, I need to be investing in that financially, be out there in my community, you know, whether it is through online and offline, and I'm sure you support people from an offline perspective as well. But just as far as investing as a broker and then pooling those dollars together, how do you guys figure out how you are going to invest those dollars from, is it a like a national level? Is it at a local level? How do you spread those dollars across different types of initiatives that are both going to support RE/MAX holistically, assuming that some dollars go in that direction, and then also the individual brokers?
You have a couple hours. We could go into the, I could geek out on this for
a while. Give me a nice little elevator pitch.
So one of the things that we look at is, yes, digital is important, but it's not the only thing. There is an offline world, right? That belly-to-belly part of the business that is very critical. And a lot of the agents right now, Gary Vee, he'll tell you, just double down. TV's dying. Print is dead. It's all about digital. Market for the time you're in using these new platforms. And that's effective for a small local practitioner, right? If I was an agent in a rural part of Texas, for example, and I only had so much money to spend on my marketing, social media, digital is a very good use of their dollars because they can track it. You can see what's happening and you can actually find out if you're getting people that are real that you can like talk to and grow your business. But from a branding perspective, you really need that offline side. So print, while it did die, what's old becomes new again. There are some cases where print in some parts of the country that print still works. Out of home is a big one. Billboards, so anything we consider out of home, anything outside of your office. So bus shelters, billboards that you drive by, sporting events, sponsorships, that kind of thing. We do a lot of radio. We do a lot of the online side. And it's that truly fully integrated marketing approach that is so critical today that is still needed. It's not just about the digital side. You've got to have that full media mix. So we do a lot of research. We go to the consumer. We find out what media do they trust? What media do they engage with? We look at the competition. What are they running? Where are their spends going? What kind of results are they getting? And really figure out how do we track all of this and setting some very clear objectives. So ours is awareness and more importantly, unaided awareness. So if we ask the general population, that's one of our advantages is we have the number one name in real estate. People know our brand, but it's amazing. Even though we know that, there's a lot of times I meet people, they're like, RE/MAX is real estate, right? Like they might kind of loosely know because it's not maybe relevant where they're at in their life.
Right.
So we need to think about who are they and really get down to that people-based approach to when do they need to start knowing about us, depending on who they are, where they are. And it's that old school approach of the right message at the right time to the right audience. And so with this, we do a lot of annual research. We'll look at the competition, their ads. And in that unaided awareness side, it's a matter of, it's about 5 out of 10 people. Or if I say, think about real estate, what brand comes to mind? 5 out of 10 will tell you RE/MAX. If I then ask the question, have you heard of RE/MAX, yes or no? 9 out of 10 will say, yes, they've heard of RE/MAX. But then what does that mean? We needed to get down to that. So we lead in awareness, familiarity, the consideration side, and how do we just kind of drive this?
Is there some expectation that knowing how high consideration the purchase of a home is that you want to, let's say in theory, somebody's 25 today, they're not in the market looking for a home, but potentially 10, maybe even 15 years from now, they will be in the market, ready to buy. Are you looking to have that ongoing presence and have them think of RE/MAX in the moment that they are ready to make that choice?
Absolutely. So if you think about that, I want to know who they are. So when I came back to the brand a few years ago, I asked a group and said, who's our target? And they told me a 25 to 54 adult, predominantly female. And I kind of chuckled because that's the old school approach to marketing. I want to get into who you are on a more people-based one-on-one approach. So if you're that 25-year-old who you just got out of school, the economy was rough, you went to get your master's, now you're coming out of that, you're getting into your first job, you have a pile of student loan debt. Now it's a matter of how do we educate them on what does it take to buy a home? The misnomer that it doesn't take 20% to put down on a house. You can find other options to get into that 3.5%+ to get into your first home. Maybe it's the empty nester who's thinking about kind of changing, or that person who finds out that they're one kid and, you know, a couple with one child, and now they have their second kid coming. Well, they live in a two-bedroom apartment, or they live in a two-bedroom house, and they need that extra space. So do they move up? Do they add on? Do they do a renovation, or do they buy something new? There's all these different components to real estate. We want to put ourselves into that. So we've started really looking at content. How do we start to tap into the DIY? How do we start to create that awareness? We're doing it all the way down to kids now. So one of the cool things is our balloon is our icon. And we have the second largest fleet in the world of these balloons. I've got pilots all over the North America that are going to events. So if you've got a Taste of Colorado or a local fair, they're putting up these balloons. And it could be the you'll see the big Remax balloon, and maybe it's the location for the lost and found if your kids get lost. We have a great school program, so we'll send our pilots out there, and they teach kids about gravity, and they're playing in the, like, if you remember as a kid, you go in and you'd get in this big, huge balloon envelope, and you had balls and you're playing with it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the kind of stuff that we're doing to help educate kids. And then it's funny when the agents come in and all of a sudden they remember, I used to do that. I used to see that at my school, and I would go in and play with these balloons at the school I'm going to. Well, now we're looking at it even differently. We're creating coloring books for the kids, right? So they can color in the Remax balloon in a picture. Well, one of the things that I want to get into, and I think what's fun with digital, is now the on and offline world can come together, and we start thinking how we can track this. So I think about geofencing capabilities, right? So if I create it, I'd love to do this, and I'd love to figure out how to make this happen. We have maybe a landing page, and when the kid goes in and they're excited and come home and they're like, Mommy, Daddy, I was just there and we were playing in this balloon and I learned about gravity, and they were like turning on the hot air that kind of blows the balloon up.
Yeah.
They go to a website and they can track the balloon that they just saw, and there's blinking balloons all over this place. Well, then what happens when you get to that landing page? I can retarget that page and figure out who these people are, and have they engaged with Remax ever before? Are they potentially a new opportunity to create awareness? It's kind of that Amazon effect, right? You go and you buy something and you go in to buy something, but you don't. That shoe follows you around. You go to United and that vacation, kind of the palm trees follows you around. How do we start to bring this together? Even down to like our billboards, geofencing a billboard. You drive by it every day. Well, what goes by that billboard? A car. What does a person have on them? A phone. So how do we start to take that on and offline world and understand and build segments and audiences based on who these people are and what they're doing, and in some cases what they're not doing?
One thing that is implied from so much that we've talked about so far, especially in that last answer you just shared, is that there is a lot of data collection and there's a reaction to that data collection. So I think primarily we've talked about first party in so many ways, but how much is third party playing a role into what you guys are doing at Remax, and how do you value that versus first party?
It's interesting. There's a lot of back and forth with that, and a lot of people talk about data, but they don't use it. That's one thing that we're doing, is we're building that infrastructure to bring that together. Still protect it, right? You don't want to – people that misuse that information, that's the scary part. But in our case, we've got a TV buy that we're starting next week, actually. It's addressable TV. Do you know what that is?
I do, yes.
So we're going into – we're taking our first-party data, and we're looking at like a FSBO. So a FSBO is a for sale by owner. Maybe they have a FSBO expired coming on. They have been to FSBO websites. They might have FSBO apps on their phone. We're looking at that type of information, but also some third-party data. I've got this hunch where if you've been to Home Depot and Lowe's 3 or plus times in a 45-day period, what are you buying? And if you're buying high-grade paint, my hunch is you're probably not moving. But if you're going a lot of times to these home improvement stores and you're buying low-grade paint, could you be a seller? So instead of me creating awareness for Remax, I might have a what's your home worth? Because if you engage with that ad unit, you put your address in because you're trying to find out what you think your home might be worth, might you be a seller? And if you're a seller, how do I start to engage and create content and retargeting, and where I might send you to the blog to learn about what it takes to get your home ready for sale, or just ways to engage with people in a different manner. And with this TV buy, we're going to be able to take that type of data and serve it up to very specific households based off of who they are and what kind of audience they fit into. But it's not just a general brand ad. We have this funny couple standing in front of their home with a homemade sign trying to, it's a funny kind of parody on, they have a home to sell and they want to sell it. And we're going to educate the consumer on, yes, there's options to sell your home on your own, but here's the advantages and the things you should look for in an agent and be aware of in this process, whether that liability, inspection, proper disclosure, property inspection forms, like all of those things. But more importantly, because it is such a highly emotional and the largest purchase that people tend to make, don't leave money on the table. But also don't just trust it to anybody, because you really want to make sure that you have somebody that has your back and has your best interests in mind. And so you think about all of that, and that's going to start with some first and third party data, augmenting that, running some media, testing, seeing what kind of engagement response you get, and then how do we start to further that conversation down the line?
I know addressable TV has been around just for a little while. It's still, I'd say, in its infancy, but clearly you guys have a stomach for testing things that are on the newer side. Is that pretty welcome at RE/MAX as far as saying we're trying something that's not even highly scalable is how I'll describe it? There's still some scaling issues in the addressable space. Do you think that the leadership at RE/MAX, whether it's over marketing or just overall, is pretty open to just testing and trying new things from a marketing perspective?
Absolutely. And that's why it's a fit for me. We are a very entrepreneurial company. And in our brand ethos, it's that, how do I serve that community and how do we do the right thing? And with that, it's a little bit of testing, right? If you're not willing to swing, you might not hit the home run. So we're open to that, but you have to be responsible. We're not so carefree. We want to make sure that we have very specific KPIs. How am I measuring success? What does this look like? But because we have such a large opportunity with our reach and our scale, we have some flexibility to test that. I think it's also a testament. We go back to some of the disruption that's happening in our industry with iBuyers, discount brokerages, new models. We have this brand called Compass that is in our space that literally just, I think it was last week, I saw they got another $370 million in funding. These guys are getting hundreds of millions of dollars of investment in real estate. They, though, even though they're tech companies or new entrants in the space, they have to do what we've done already for 46 plus years. They have to create awareness. Yeah. So we look at their spends. They're running print. They're doing, you know, TV, radio, the things we've already done, because their awareness levels are so low, especially their unaided, but even their total. We have such strong awareness on an unaided and a total awareness perspective. We have the luxury to try new things because I don't need to worry that the consumer may or may not know who we are. We have a large population that does. So it gives us that flexibility that we can try that. And we've got support from top down. And the agents, what I love is when I travel around, they eat this stuff up because it also gives them a competitive advantage. When they go out and they go for that listing appointment, they sit down with that buyer or they sit down with that seller. They can talk about the opportunities they have and how are they able to expose their home? How are they able to get that home sold? Or when they're meeting with a buyer, how are they going to help them find that next home? It's things that we can do and the new things we can test and try. It keeps us modern. It keeps us fresh. It keeps us current. We're not the old statesman. It allows us to kind of evolve and have a very fun conversation. I love it.
You mentioned being receptive to testing new things, staying modern, and also I heard you mention some competitors just a moment ago. So knowing that there are so many, and really the names are endless, so I won't ramble a full list of them, but we do live in a world of people who want to DIY everything. They're hoping to, quote unquote, cut out the middleman. And we already spoke earlier about how it's very complex to do it in such a highly emotional process of buying or selling a home. How are you informing people that it isn't just as easy as some of these competitors are suggesting, especially since some of them are hitting the ground hard with going straight to television and they're going to all these spaces, these trusted media spaces where the messaging is resonating and people are reacting? Well, what are you guys doing to combat some of that?
We have to go where they are. So we need to continue creating that awareness and driving key messaging in those same channels that they use, but then also go where they're not, right? So if they don't, because they are going to the top kind of large awareness drivers, you know, TV is definitely, linear TV is evolving. The viewership is dropping, but it is still the number one driver of awareness, right? But when you think about the cord cutters and the cord extenders and then even the cord nevers now, that is where we play as well. But it's how do we start to kind of evolve that message? And that's something that my team's working on now is that education. We need to continually educate the consumer, and not even from a branded perspective. We're looking at things where it's an unbranded approach. Because think about it, if you see a piece of content that is so polished and so branded, you kind of immediately, from a consumer perspective, you kind of shut it down.
Yeah.
You want that kind of more authentic, raw conversation. And so that's what we're working on, is creating that local, more grassroots feel to educate the consumer. Maybe it's the top 10 things to look for in an agent. Maybe it's the 5 things you didn't realize about credit. Maybe it's the, you know, whatever it is in that process, just to help educate them and make sure that we're positioning our agent and our brand correctly throughout all of those different channels.
You just mentioned being authentic and being local and how important that is. So what does that handoff process look like as far as when your messaging switches from being RE/MAX, trusted name, you know who we are, you've known us for a long time, to now we need to do the assignment of figuring out the right agent for you? What does that process look like, and how does digital maybe play a role in that?
Yeah, so what we've been doing is we run a national ad campaign, and then we regionalize it as well. We create regional nuances, and then we give the agents tools. We just created rolled out an app that they can take all of our messaging and our campaigns, so they don't have to worry about brand standards and compliance, but we give them a very easy app on their phone that they can now create content. So if they walk out of a listing appointment and they kind of leave things behind, they could literally walk out of their door now, take their phone, shoot a video on their way out, maybe spin back to the house, talk about how great it was to meet them, reinforce why they think that they would be a great option to help them sell their home. And in this app, it's all branded. They can throw in logos. They can throw in just little parts and pieces. We got some really great feedback from this. And again, giving them tools to just hyper-localize that content and then quickly share it out. They don't have to log in and out of all these different platforms. We want to give it to where, give the messaging and give this content to where they are. Go to them, not expecting them all to come to us. They don't need to log into an intranet. They don't need to come into all these different disparate sources.
What you were just describing is that RE/MAX hustle? As far as like the video creation?
A version of that.
Okay.
We just launched an app today, but like RE/MAX Hustle, those types of tools, those are the types of things that we're rolling out.
And I know I just mentioned something that obviously was an offline conversation. I did not bring that up earlier in this conversation, but for folks who are listening in, RE/MAX Hustle is a cool, and you can tell me if I'm describing this wrong, a cool video promotion tool that you just plug in a couple of things and you have this really cool, modern, sleek video that you as an individual agent can share out with potential buyers.
Yep. So RE/MAX Hustle started off of, when you think about, again, consumer. Like, we're turning into goldfish. Our attention spans, the amount of messaging and noise that we get bombarded with, we don't have the attention to watch all of this. So the 30-second videos, it was a 15. Well, now you've got sixes, right? And imagine trying to sell your value and your service in a 6-second ad, and then now you've got flocking of these videos. So if I serve a 6-second and then they engage, maybe I have a series. If they don't engage, I keep testing messaging. One of the things that we're looking at is with RE/MAX Hustle was they had infographics. So instead of people writing content, just funny visual ways to show it. Well, video is such a great way to communicate. I love it because it hits on more of the senses. It's just not something that I'm reading and hearing. I can engage and see these people. And we have agents around the world that when they're sending out video, they might be using it for prospecting. Or they get a lead. Instead of just a text back or an email back, they're creating a video and saying, "Hey, Sally, great to get your contact information. I see you're looking in this area." And they're starting to build rapport. Well, when they show up to that appointment or they meet them at the coffee shop, they already know them. The defenses are down. There's a little bit more of a trust and confidence there. So the reality, though, is like myself, we don't always like what we look like. We don't like how we sound. And video is, it's scary to create content. You feel like, oh, is it good enough? Is it polished enough, right? And it doesn't need this high-value production. We're not Hollywood. And so what we did was to try to ease that fear, we created RE/MAXHustle.com to allow our agents to create branded 15-second videos that they can quickly create. Maybe if they want to be known for their global connections that they have because we're part of a global brand, or that they've got the marketing savvy to help that buyer or seller get through the process, or the fact that they have great connections, whatever that is, they can create many, many variations of this and then quickly get it out. Their likeness is in it, but it's not necessarily them. This just got enhanced more with this app that we've rolled out. Now they can actually film video. We're educating them how to create that content. It doesn't always have to be so polished. That authentic, raw, and real content is also a great way to test, right? Because if you think about a media and a digital media perspective, if I have content that I'm going to go spend tens of thousands of dollars to produce, and then I spend hundreds of dollars on social media to promote it, and it doesn't work, well, I might not have the money to go back and do another round. Well, if I can just create this stuff on the fly with my phone and put it out there and see what's working, maybe I find a sweet spot, then go produce something a little more polished and a little more production value. So we're just trying to educate them with this stuff.
And I played with the tutorial earlier today, and I will say it really delivers on that promise from my perspective. It looks sleek, it looks cool, and it's super easy to use. I mean, for any realtor that ends up encountering the instructions, I feel like you have to do two or three things, and next thing you know, your video is ready to go. So awesome solution there. So something you mentioned earlier, or at least touched on a little bit, is that you guys have been testing so many different things and that there is a hunger and a receptivity for testing in different spaces. Let's talk a little bit about efficacy and knowing that some things are actually working when you test them out. How have some of these new types of digital or programmatic or audience-based opportunities been working out for RE/MAX?
So again, when I started a few years ago, it was more of that same message for everybody. Great campaigns, great message, kind of knew that people knew the brand. But when we started tailoring the message, we started off with the generation. So how do I take my message? And it could just be a simple tweak of the creative, the imagery. It could be the call to action. It could be the tone of the copy. We noticed that if we started taking that message and tailoring it to families versus single people, or a millennial versus Gen X versus a boomer, or just those little nuances, our engagement rates went up like 10% plus. We could see that. We knew that they were coming in. We track all of the pages that they view. More importantly, the lead activity that's generated. And we saw some increases there. And we did a further test. We wanted to kind of push the envelope a little bit more. I started looking at architectural home styles. So an easy way to run some national ads is to find a kind of vanilla anywhere USA home, right? It's nondescript. When we started tailoring our architecture styles, instead of maybe not serving palm trees in Colorado, we broke the country into quadrants and we started looking at images of what do homes look like in the Northeast? How does that differ than the Midwest? How does that differ than the South? How does that differ than the East and the West Coast? And when we started serving out the messaging, it could be the same exact message, same click-through, same call to action, but just the image changed, engagements went up hundreds of percent. And it goes back to that relevancy. The consumer then felt that the ad campaign or the message that they're seeing as they're scrolling through, you know, feeds on CNN or social channels, they can identify with it. There's a more of a personal connection with it. And that's, we've seen it. There's, the data doesn't lie.
Ad format wise, is there something that resonates best? Obviously, you were just talking about visuals and visual medium being something that needs to speak to the consumer so they feel that relevance. Are people getting more reactive or receptive to video versus display versus other formats? Have you seen certain things working better?
Video is huge. I'm really excited to see what's happening. I just saw a stat the other day. They're saying by the end of 2019, 80% of internet traffic is going, lead activity and traffic will be video. And that's crazy because I'm like, it's 2019 now. Like, I don't know where these stats come from. Right? But again, I think it's that, how do we hit all the senses? Because nobody has the time to read all this content. You may or may not be driving by and even notice the billboard. But all of a sudden, those subliminal cues that you're seeing day to day as you're going to and from work, all of a sudden when you get onto Facebook or you're jumping onto your phone and you see some app in a or see an ad in an app that you use often, then all of a sudden you make that connection back to what you just realized you were driving by. You start to get into their psyche and they start to notice it more. And video has been a really fun driver for us in the last year.
As far as looking into the future, just knowing that there has been so many changes, whether it is regulative changes or changes in the economy or just new opportunities that are available in the advertising landscape and the marketing landscape, what are things that you're getting excited about as far as testing and 2019 and beyond?
Connecting the on and offline world. The fact that we can start, instead of me having a billboard or a sign in a sports stadium and doing a sponsorship with like the Chicago Cubs, the fact that I could geofence the stadium and I can start identifying who has engaged with content and who has not and finding them elsewhere. I'm really excited to see how this on and offline world from a media perspective is coming together to create that relevancy. So long as we're being good stewards in PII and the protection and all of that. It's really exciting to see where it's coming.
Something that Ryan Manchi brought up earlier, he came to the conference that you guys are hosting in Chicago. So for folks who are listening in, there is a RE/MAX conference that is taking place in Chicago right now. So while he was attending, he mentioned that he attended a seminar. He attended a session in which there was a mention of the fact that the painting of RE/MAX for the future is one that's focused on technology, I think, in so many ways. And you can clarify if I'm explaining that improperly. So the question I wanted to bring to you.
Let me clarify that for you.
Yeah.
So we believe truly, again, the agents are not going to be replaced, but agents that do not embrace technology are going to not be in business in the future. And those agents that embrace technology and feel that that is, they can set their business and the process of building and nurturing relationships on autopilot, they will also not be in business. The difference is technology is important. It's something that is needed, but it's about the experience. How am I connecting with my buyer and seller? How am I connecting with the general consumer? How am I connecting with my sphere of influence? And so one of the cool things that our new platform that Booj built for us is lead scoring, which is not new, but we're also doing sphere scoring. So when you think about our long sales cycle, a 2 to 3 year research process, then the act of buying and selling, 8 to 12 weeks, well, then you have now 10 plus years between your next deal. How do I stay in front of that consumer? Because there's a lot of different research, but a lot of people, the idea is that they use the same agent, but if they're not leveraging technology and dripping on them and celebrating their birthdays and home anniversaries and staying in top of mind, they're going to find someone else down the line. And that's what we're really focused on, is the experience that technology allows our agents to build meaningful relationships with their buyers, sellers, and the public.
Do you think that it is important for RE/MAX to just communicate the importance of technology internally, or is it also important to communicate the importance of technology externally, as in letting potential buyers know that you're technology first? Or is it more what you described a moment ago or earlier on about, we have this very strong focus on making sure we're delivering the best experience in your home selling or home buying process? Do you have to do both, is the question I'm asking.
It's interesting. I think that technology is just table stakes. It's an expectation now. I have an app for this. I have an app for that. I've got my phone, right? You don't have to have a computer anymore. You can literally do so much on your phone. But our research every year that we do, we have found that they want the experience. They want someone who has the knowledge, the know-how to get the job done and be that trusted advisor. Technology rates number 7 and 8. And I was shocked the last few years when I was seeing that, but I feel it's because the expectation is that technology is not a nice to have. It's just going to be there. So if that's the case, if I'm buying and selling a home, and to you, as you've been saying, it's a highly emotional, it's a big deal. I'm going to have technology. I'm going to go online. I'm going to go to the portals. I'm going to go to these apps and find all of this information and swipe through homes on how many bedrooms and bathrooms. But what we're doing is, how do we take that technology and that experience and make it better? So what is the walkability of the home? If I find that for me, it's important that I want to be able to have nightlife in my area, being able to allow for maps and home search around that criteria and quickly and easily and seamlessly do it. One of the cool things that we've got coming, have you ever shopped on like Hauser, IKEA, and you can kind of take a picture of the chair and use your phone and kind of see how it might look in your room?
Yeah.
We're taking that type of augmented reality, and our new consumer app that's coming out later this year you'll be able to take your phone, and if you're walking down a certain part of town that you really like, you can take your phone out, turn your camera on, and use our augmented reality and start scoping, kind of panning down streets and see what homes might be for sale. And kind of start using cool ways to create a fun experience to engage that consumer. That is the type of stuff that I think we will promote to the consumer, because it's that kind of new, fun way, modern, progressive messaging that makes home search fun again. It's not just bedrooms and bathrooms and lots and square footage. It's how does it live? We even have features like, if you're looking at a certain house, it'll tell you like how many days of sunshine, just stuff like that. But I don't know that we would actively say this is the technology we do for you. It's the experience we provide with digital and with technology that positions that RE/MAX brand and agent as that, wow, this is fun. This is different.
That seems to align with everything you've described, like starting from the very beginning of being a child who's using the balloon in gym class all the way to thinking about technology and modern new ways that people weren't anticipating. And you're helping out both the agents and the home buyers and the sellers. So I will say, and I have to say this on the record, that RE/MAX is the only real estate brand where I know what is it a logo? Is essentially what it is? Is the hot air balloon, the blue and
it's
the
our icon.
Red and the white? And I'm like, I am trying to think about any other logo essentially, and I'm like, I can't think of it first.
It's a word mark for many of them. It's funny. We did a refresh with our brand a couple years ago, and when I came in and was looking at it, there was a lot of discussion on the brand. It's a solid brand. It's iconic. It's well known around the globe, but it felt old. And when we started going through this brand refresh, our founders were like, whoa, 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 like, don't touch my baby. But knowing we need to be modern, and if the consumer tells us, then let's consider a change. And so we tested tens of thousands of consumers and went through hundreds of iterations of identity between changing this balloon. Even down to, does the balloon stay? I mean, we had a lot of interesting conversations. And the remarkable thing was, when we settled down on the final design, the feedback we got from the consumers was outstanding. They're like, this is great. And we knew that we were onto something, back to this icon. When we took RE/MAX out of the balloon itself, and it was just the red over white over blue balloon, and we tested that in the with consumers versus the current mark, they knew the brand was RE/MAX, and RE/MAX wasn't even on this thing. It really does resonate. And when you travel around the globe, I can't tell you how many times we hear from consumers and broker owners and agents. You could be in Italy and all of a sudden you're sitting in a cafe and you look up and then you see the balloon there. Or they were talking about in Nicaragua. Part of this town had moved and got redeveloped, and kind of the old part just kind of was left to be. So the jungle and the forest is growing into it. And there's this balloon stuck in these vines. And they're taking pictures like, we're everywhere. And it's just fun to see that icon, it works.
Yeah, it really resonates.
Creates that awareness.
And not to be over the top about it, but it's like, for real estate, what the Apple icon is to Apple. Like, it's very recognizable. You guys are doing a lot of interesting things in many interesting ways. Excited to continue to work with you guys and see what you do in the future. So,
absolutely.
James, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
That's our episode on bringing media innovation to today's digital-savvy real estate market. Thanks to James Schwartz, VP of Marketing at RE/MAX, for sharing insights on how he and his team bring innovation to an industry that's hungry for disruption and simplification. I'm Noor Nasir. We'll catch you on our next episode of AdTech Unfiltered.